get into a new series today. We finished up our series last week on old school faith. If you missed that, I encourage you to get a hold of that. I know some of you were gone for Mother's Day. Mother's Day pulls us in all kinds of different directions as a congregation. Some of us stay here. Some of us are in other places and doing other things, and that's fine. I just hope that wherever your mother is, in some way you honored her. Amen. We're actually going to start a series today on honor. It just seemed fitting to me. You know, honor is something that that we don't hear a whole lot about these days. But we've come into really a season of honor as a nation. Last week was Mother's Day, where we honor our moms. Coming up next weekend is Memorial Day weekend, where we honor those that have given their life for this country, so that we could have the freedom and enjoy the freedom that we have. And so we honor them. And then coming up in June is Father's Day, where we honor our dads. And so it just seemed fitting to the Holy Ghost and to me that we would have a series on honor. It's only going to be a three-part series, but I really want you to try to be here for these three services, because if we get a hold of this the truth about honor, it will unlock blessings in our life, and it has the power to change a church. It has the power to change a city, to even change a nation, when we get a hold of what God says about honor. And really, God has a lot to say about it. If you've never thought about it, if you've never heard any teaching on the subject of honor, really, God has a lot to say about it. He might surprise you. I think even today, it might surprise you, some of the things that God says about honor, and some of the things about God says who we are to honor. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. But I want to pray and just believe God for unction today, and believe God for us to hear what He would have us to hear. I'm always mindful of wanting my words to be His words whenever I speak. But in addition to that, I understand that God is always speaking to you while I'm speaking too. So it's not just the words that I speak to you that I want to be, anointed by the Holy Ghost, but I'm trusting God to speak directly into your life, words that I'm not going to speak today, but He'll speak directly to you and meet you right where you're at and speak into your life today. And I hope that you've come with that kind of an expectation, because that's how we should always come to church, with an expectation that we're going to hear from God. Because when you come to church with that kind of an expectation, God will answer that, amen? And God will speak into your life. He might even say something to you about you and your life that has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm preaching today. But because you're here, because you're hungry, because you need something, and God wants to help you, and God wants to bless you, He'll speak something right into your life, and you'll hear it clear as a bell if you've got ears to hear, amen? So let's pray together. Father, I thank You. I praise You for this time that we have together. And Father, we trust that You're in control of this time, not me. We yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and we ask Him to not only to give me unction that I might speak as I ought to speak today, but to help each one of us, Father. Give us each ears to hear. Open our hearts that we might receive, Father. Let there be an expectation within each one of us, not an expectation of what I'm going to say today, but an expectation of what You would say to us, what You would want to say to us, what You would want to speak into our lives today, Father. We're here, we're open, we're ready to receive, and we thank You, Father, for Your impartations. We thank You, Father, for all that You would give to us today. We give You in advance all the glory and honor and praise for everything You'll do here in our midst, because we can do nothing without You, Father. So we thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Malachi chapter 1, we're going to start here. Malachi, if you're not familiar, he's one of the Old Testament books. He was an Old Testament prophet. And so Malachi here is prophesying some things. He's speaking some things by the unction of the Holy Spirit, but God has given him to speak. And he says here, Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, he said, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master." If I am a father, God says, if I am a father, where is the honor? Where is the honor? This series we're looking at today is entitled With Honor, but this part one is, where is the honor? We want to talk about where is the honor today. God says, if I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priest. It is you, O priest. Now, in the Old Testament, the priest, that was a small group of people. and they were ministers of God, okay? And so he's talking to them. But how many know in the New Testament, the Bible says we have become a kingdom of priests? You know, don't think of when the Bible talks about priests in the New Testament, it's not talking about, you know, the priests that are in any particular church, you know, that we would call, you know, ministers, like they're you know, the equivalent of a pastor. What I am in some churches, they're called priests. That's not what God's talking about here. He's talking here, you know, in the New Testament, we're called a kingdom of priests. Amen. And if you're a believer, if you're in Christ Jesus today, if he's your Lord and Savior, God calls you a believer. He calls you a priest. So we just say he's talking to us. Amen. He said, it is you, O priest, who show contempt. Who show contempt. And now what is that word contempt? It means that contempt is that the feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration. That it's beneath consideration, that it's worthless, is deserving of scorn, okay? And so he's saying, you priest, it is you, O priest, that who show contempt for my name, God said. But you asked, how have we shown contempt for your name? So we're going to talk about this thing, because we don't want God asking us, hey, where's the honor? You know, God, we don't want God looking down on Raining Love Church saying, where's the honor, church? How come you're not honoring me? How come you're not giving me any honor? How come you're showing contempt for my name? Let that not be said of us or this church or of your life. But we got to understand what he's talking about here, okay? You know, this younger generation, and don't get me wrong, young people, don't tune out with me right now, because I am for young people. I believe in young people. Amen? And it grieves me when I hear people my age and older and even younger bad mouth in today's young generation, you know, whether it be the millennials or whether it be the generation after the millennials, which is, they're actually calling that Generation Z, okay? So whether you're a millennial or whether you're Generation Z, I'm for you. Amen. I'm for you. I believe in you. I really do. I'm not just blowing smoke. I believe in the younger generation. I believe God wants to do something amazing through this young generation. I like talking to young people, and particularly when young people are thinking outside the box. You know, like, oh, that's the way it's always been. That's the way we've always done it. But, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of younger people, it's like, I don't like that way. Maybe it doesn't have to be the way it's always been done. You know, they say a lot of millennials don't like working these, you know, they don't like working this, you know, this 8-to-5 job in an office, and, you know, day in and day out. You know, they want to experience life. They want to work a different kind of way. And of course, with modern technology, it's made that possible, where we have a lot of different ways that we can work, and you don't have to be stuck in an office to really do some great things. And so I think that's all cool. I like young people thinking outside the box and doing new things. But there is something in the younger generation that has lost much of the honor and respect that some of us older have grown up with, and it's even affected some of us older people, where some of us older people have lost the honor and the respect that we once knew we were supposed to walk in, that we were supposed to give, you know. It's become cool to criticize, and to blog about it and post on social media. Man, if you want to get in a firestorm, you just say the wrong thing on social media, you tweet the wrong thing and watch it light up. Huh? You make a controversial post and watch it blow up, man. I mean, it doesn't take much to start a fire on the internet these days, you know. But it's become cool to do that and to speak out against things. And in doing so, we have brought some things down to equal levels that should not be on equal levels. You know, we've lost the honor. We've lost the respect. Now, I understand there is equality when it comes to how God views all of us. None of us, there isn't one of us that God loves more than the other. There isn't one of us that God loves or values more than another. He loves us all the same. He values us all the same, okay? But there are some things that are due some honor, and we'll see it from the Word of God, what God declares, that some things that are due some honor. In fact, next week we're going to talk about 6 things that God says should receive some honor, 6 things that God says should receive some respect. And so if this is coming from God, this isn't coming from your pastor, this is coming from God, I think that's worth listening to. Amen? I think it's worth listening to. And then in the final message, this is going to be a 3-part series, in the final message we're going to actually talk about how to honor. Okay, it's one thing to say to honor, But if you buy into that, that we should honor, and if next week you buy into what I'm going to show you about who the Bible says we should honor, then the final question is, then how do I honor? How do I show honor? Okay? And let me just say this, just a little tidbit here. You can honor someone and completely disagree with them. Amen? And we're going to talk about that, because that's where the hang-up is with a lot of people. They say, I can't honor them. I don't like what they believe. I don't like the way they live. I don't like what they stand for. How can I honor them? You don't have to agree with someone to honor them. And so that's why we have to have some understanding about what honor is. And so we want to look at this, all right? But it's time to go a little old school. You know, we just finished a series on old school faith and getting back to some basics, some fundamental things. It's time to go a little old school. You know, gentlemen, I think it's time to treat some ladies with some respect. I got one amen. Now, I know that some ladies and some men will even say, oh, you know what, Pastor, ladies don't want that anymore. They don't want that anymore. But you know what I found? I found more and more of them do. Now, they don't always vocalize it, because they've had to make it in this man's world. Women have had to be tough. You know, and they've had to be tough, and they're still fighting for equal rights and equal pay. And I'm with you, ladies. I am for women getting what's due them, getting the equal you know, pay and equal opportunity. I'm all for that. Amen. But you know what? I'll still open a door for a lady. And some ladies don't like it. And some ladies at first don't like it, and then they show me later that they do like it. And so, you know, but I don't open a door for a lady because they're weak. I open a door for a lady because I want to honor them. But here's an interesting fact. I don't only open doors for ladies. I open doors for men too. Because I was taught to give honor. I was taught to respect. So for me, it's not about the person, whether the person deserves honor or respect or not. Is something I've chosen to do. I see from the Word of God it's something that's important. So I choose to do it. I just choose to live my life that way. Amen? And if a lady wants to misunderstand me and think that I'm putting her down or I'm belittling her by opening the door for her, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to change who I am. That's not my heart. That's not my intent. Okay? I open doors for guys all the time. And if I, you know, that's that awkward moment when you're two people walking up to a door at the same time. Who's going to get there first? I always try to get there a step ahead so I can grab that door and open it for whoever it is, male or female. Why? Because I want to honor people, because I want to respect people. So go ahead and do it anyways. You know, I believe when you honor people, you're honoring God. And we'll see it from the Scripture, okay? Parents, what would it be like, parents, if your children, if your kids all of a sudden started showing you proper respect? Some of you would fall over. You know, and we'll talk about that. Now kids, I'm not on your case today, okay? What would it be like, parents, if we treated our kids with respect? You know what can go both ways? Just as you're the parent and God tells children to honor their parents, honor their father and mother, it doesn't mean that we should be treating our kids like dirt, man. We can respect them too. We can behave towards them in a respectful way. You got to think about your kids, who they are. They're little people, man, but they're people. They're people that Jesus died for. They're people that Jesus loves. They're people that Jesus gave his life for, and he values them, and he's poured his life out for them, and so they're valuable. So we need to treat them with the value that God sees them with. We need to esteem them valuable. What would it be like if we treated people at work with respect? The people I work with, they don't deserve any respect. And we're going to see it's not about what they deserve. It's not about what they deserve, okay? If we all got what we deserved, we'd all be going to hell. Hello? This isn't about what people deserve. Grace is not about what people deserve. Grace is the grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. God gave it to you anyways. Amen. So we got to get out of this mindset, well, they don't deserve this. They don't deserve that. And it's destructive. It's destructive, okay? What if we said yes, sir, and yes, ma'am a lot more? Oh, Pastor, that's a Southern thing. No, actually, it's a Christian thing. Some people think I talk like that because I'm Southern. I'm actually not Southern. A lot of New Englanders accuse me of being Southern. I'm actually from Colorado. Born in Nebraska, moved to Colorado at the age of 9. And then after that, after I met and married Lori in Colorado, we went to Oklahoma for just a short period for Bible school. And I just, something nasty happened in Oklahoma. I picked up just enough of something in my accent that people up here in New England think I'm Southern. If you think I'm Southern, you probably never met a real Southerner. Because there's a distinct difference between me and a Southerner. But, you know, I get it. You know, people, I'm different. I definitely don't have a Boston accent, amen? And I don't have a New York accent. So I understand. But, no, it's not a Southern thing for me. It's just a respect thing. It's the way I was raised. And, you know, a Southern thing is where, you know, and Lori and I, we talked about this in our parenting small group. Lori and I, we went down this road for a very short time when we were first parenting. We kind of liked the way Southern children speak to their parents and how they always respond, yes sir, yes ma'am. But then when we tried to get our kids to do that, it felt weird to us. And I realized I didn't want to be called sir by my children. I wanted to be called dad. Okay? And I'm not putting anyone down if your children call you, you know, respond to you, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. I'm not putting that down. That is really a Southern thing, okay? And we decided not to do that. We started down that road, but we decided not to do that. I just think there's something real special and real affectionate about being called dad, right? Just call me dad, call me daddy, call me pa. My kids always call me dad. And dad and mom is always a term of affection for us. And I guess we erred on the side. We wanted the term of affection more than we wanted the term of respect. But we still taught our kids to respect. Amen? You with me? So I think it's time to get back to some honor. You know, honoring government officials. That's a hot button. But not because you agree with them, but because of the position they hold. And we're going to see here in just a little bit, I'll show you that those authorities that are over us, even in government, they are ordained of God. Even though there are some godless people in those positions of authority. But the position of authority itself is ordained by God. And God expects us to respond to them, to behave, to treat them in a particular way. Even if we disagree with them, 100%. There's still a way that they can be honored that pleases God and honoring the flag. You know, I heard a story once. It was something that happened at a Red Sox game. And I was so excited because Jean and her husband Larry, they're taking Lori and I to a Red Sox game here in a couple weeks. You know, we lived in New England for 15 years before we moved away, and now we've been back for a couple. And I have never been to a Red Sox game. That's inconceivable. I was blessed to go to a Celtics game and a Bruins game back in the old garden before they tore the old garden down, but I've never been to Fenway. And so thanks to the Jingerses, we're going to be blessed with that privilege here soon. But I heard the story about, it was in a bar that was there, at Fenway Park. And you know how bars are, they're loud, they're noisy, especially if it's game day, right? There's a lot of chaos, a lot of commotion going on. And all of a sudden, the national anthem started. And you want to know what happened in that bar? Everything went silent in a heartbeat. Everything stopped. Hats came off. Hands went to the heart. And for that entire national anthem, that bar was silent. They were showing honor. They were showing honor. Amen. They were showing respect. No one made them do it. No one forced them to do it. But that's what happened, man. And it was everyone in the house. It wasn't any. It was like, you know, the night before Christmas and all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, right? And I think that's just so cool, man. It almost makes me, I want to find that bar. No, you know, it'd be cool to see that. So So that's cool. So for a few weeks, church, we're going to bring back some honor. Amen? Malachi chapter 2, he goes on in Malachi, and he says, "And now this admonition is for you, O priest. If you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart," I want you to notice those words, "if you do not set your heart," you know, we don't want to do anything out of duty or obligation or law, but because it's the love of our hearts, it's the delight of our hearts, that's why we should be, that's the only reason why we should want to do what God tells us to do. You know, if you're doing it out of duty and obligation, then you're not connected with God. You're not connected with his heart. He wants us to do things out of our heart. So he says, "Set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty. I will send a curse upon you, and I'll curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not set your heart to honor me." You know, I'll come back to that here in just a second, but there are basically two words in the Bible to get you to behave correctly, to get you and me to behave correctly, right? I'm in the same boat with you, all right? One word means do it because I said do it. Do it because I said do it. That's where we see the word obedience over and over again. The word obedience. It just means you just do it because that's the right thing to do, because God said do it, right? But there's another word, and unfortunately this word has a negative connotation, and unfortunately this word, it's not a very good translation in my estimation, but it's become a word that people don't like. It's become a word that wives don't like, you know, and oftentimes, and sometimes it gets taken out of the wedding vows and so on, but it's the word submission. It's the word submission. And like I said, it has a negative connotation, but it doesn't really mean what people think it means. It simply means it becomes the delight of your heart to do it. Now see, when you hear the word submission, a lot of people think about a woman being beat down and he's lording it over her and he's ruling over her. That's not what it's really about at all. That's not even close to what it's about. When the Bible talks about submitting, whether it's a wife to a husband or whether, as we're going to see, we're even to submit one to another, it's talking about doing it because it's the delight of your heart to do it. And I told ladies at a wedding one time, I was doing a wedding, and it was a Christian couple in our church, but all the wedding party were non-Christians, right? They had some unsaved friends. How many know it's good to have some unsaved friends? Amen. I'll talk to you more about that later. You should have some unsaved friends. Matter of fact, I'm going to put you on the spot here in the next few months, and I'm going to ask you to think of 10 unsaved friends you've got a relationship with. Some of you might be hard-pressed to think of one. So that'll give you some food for thought for the next few months. Why do I want to have 10 unsaved friends? So you got someone to be believing God for. So you got someone to be praying for, right? Make some unsaved friends. No, don't go hang out at the bar. You can make some unsaved friends. Make them at work. Make them with your neighbors. Make them with your coworkers. You know, make them get involved in a club. Get in a hobby. Start a do something. Do something where you meet someone that's not in church, and make a friend. Amen. That's beside. This word submission. So these ladies at the wedding, I knew it was coming, man, because I went over the vows with the husband and wife, and those were the vows that they wanted, you know. And we talked about what that word submit means and so on, and the husband and wife, yeah, that's what we want. We want that in our wedding. But I knew, I was looking at that the ladies in that bridal party, I knew when I got to that part, I was going to get some looks. And sure enough, I got some looks, man. Submit to him, you know, and whew, you could just feel the tension in the room. And so I went a little off note. I went a little impromptu, like that priest yesterday. How many saw the royal wedding yesterday? Man, the gospel was preached in front of 2.5 billion people yesterday at a royal wedding. Never happened in a royal wedding before. It went off script. I mean, I heard someone say that the queen said one time that a sermon at a wedding should be no more than 2 minutes long. I don't think I can do that. I haven't done a 2-minute sermon since I was in Bible school. He preached for 13 minutes. And he preached about the love of God. He preached about the power of God's love. And man, it was the gospel going forth. Even one of the newscasters said the only thing that was missing from that sermon was an altar call. If you didn't see it, you ought to catch the replay on TV, man. It was awesome. It's worth watching just for that guy's sermon. He was an American bishop preaching over there at a royal wedding in England. Amen. And it was pretty cool. But so anyway, back to the story. So I get to that part, and so I went off script. I went impromptu. And I talked to them about what that word submit means. And I said, you know, the greater responsibility is with the husband, because the husband is supposed to love the wife like Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. Husbands ought to, that's how husbands ought to treat their wife, with such love and such, such adoring love that they would be willing to lay down their life for their wife, and that they would lay down their life daily for their wife in serving her and loving her. And so we talked about that, and then all of a sudden their whole countenance changed. And I could see their mouths going, well, I'll submit to a man like that. The problem isn't so much with the submission. And like I said, the submission isn't about, it's not about something being, doing it because it's the delight of your heart. Why do we submit to Christ? It's the delight of our heart to submit to him. Why? Because no one loves us like he does. Because no one laid down their life for us like he did. Because no one loves us when we are at our worst, when we are at our ugliest, when we are lost in sin, when we are misbehaving on every level, he still loves us. How could it not be the delight of my heart to submit to him? Because of his amazing and unending love for me. Amen. So that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about this kind of submission, okay? It wasn't out of obligation that those Red Sox fans responded with honor. There was no one running around the bar saying, hey, guys, knock it off. Get those hats off. Shut up. The song's playing. No one had to say a thing. It was just boom, instantaneous. What? It was their delight. We're honoring our nation. We're honoring our flag. We're honoring our national anthem. We're honoring, yeah, even for all of its problems, the freest nation on the earth. And I've traveled to a lot of them. And I love every nation I've traveled to. I love the people in every nation I've been to. But there is no nation like America. And I don't say that pridefully. I don't say that arrogantly. I'm humbled and honored to be part of this country. Amen? So that's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. It was their delight. Set your hearts, church. God's saying, I don't want behavior modification. I want your heart. Behavior modification doesn't work if you don't have their heart. Amen. If God gets our heart, then the behavior takes care of itself. So he wants our heart to honor his name. He said, I'll send a curse on you. You know, God's not saying I'll curse you if you don't. That's really not what he's saying here. You know, a scholar one time said concerning the Hebrew, the Old Testament, you know, was written in Hebrew and translated, and so many of these scriptures were mistranslated. They were verbs were translated in the causative where they should have been translated in the permissive. In other words, it looks like in a lot of places God said, I will do this, I will do that. And very often in the Old Testament, what he's saying is, I will permit this, I will permit that. There's a difference. God has no choice but to permit bad things to happen when we disobey his word. He's given us free will, and when we make wrong mistakes, we open ourselves up to some bad stuff. See, the truth is, apart from him, we're already cursed. But that's why Jesus came, isn't it? He came to get us out from under the curse. He came to redeem us from the curse, not to heap more curse on us. Amen. That's what it's all about. He wants you out from under the curse. So it's not like God's waiting for you to mess up so he can curse you. No, we're already under a curse, and so we got to stay tight with him, stay close to him, so we can stay out from under that curse. Let's look at these two words here real quickly. Honor. What does honor mean? It means value, worth, weight. Weight. I heard someone say one time, you know, you're coming down the road and maybe you're driving in the mountains, and all of a sudden you come around this corner and there's a big boulder in the middle of the road. what are you going to do? You better stop. You better honor that thing. Huh? Why? It's got some weight. Oh, I'll just try to drive through it. Yeah, you'll be a grease spot in the middle of the road. You're going to drive through no boulder. You're going to stop. And if there's no way around it, well, you're stuck. You're going to have to turn around. Right? To honor. Honor means to have value or worth, to have weight. So then dishonor is the opposite. It means to take lightly. It means to take lightly. And so this whole thing about honor versus dishonor is all about taking things. We shouldn't be taking things lightly that God says you shouldn't be taking lightly. If God tells us we should honor something, then we shouldn't take it lightly. Okay? We should go ahead and give it the weight that God assigns to it, okay? And I think right now we're in a generation that oftentimes takes things lightly. We treat things as common and ordinary that shouldn't be common and ordinary. One of the things we don't give enough weight in our society to, and this might surprise you, but it's the poor. Do you know God tells us to honor the poor? See, that threw some of you a loop right there. You thought he's talking about honoring. He's talking about honoring the government, which I mentioned. He's going to start talking about honoring spiritual authority and honoring this, you know, this big wig and that big wig. And no, God says you're supposed to even honor the poor. Isn't it amazing how we treat someone if we think they have a lot of money versus how we treat someone who is poor or maybe we don't see them as important in our eyes? And we'll treat the two people completely different. It's not right. God says it's not right. You don't do that. You don't treat someone, you don't dishonor someone because they're poor. In fact, you should give honor to the poor. All throughout Scripture, especially if you read through the Psalms and the Proverbs, it says in one place, you've shown contempt, you have removed some weight from the poor, and therefore you dishonor their maker. God said, you don't treat the poor right, you're dishonoring their maker by dishonoring them. So every time we look at the poor and say, well, that's not for me to deal with. Glad I'm not one of them. We're dishonoring God. We're dishonoring God. And not only are we dishonoring God, but we're removing ourselves from an opportunity for blessings by doing what God would have us to do towards the poor, by honoring them, by blessing them, by doing what we can to help them. That not only honors them, but it honors God, and it will bring blessing back into our life. The Bible says if you help the poor, if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord and he will repay. Yeah, we got to be busy honoring who God said to honor. Amen. Too many times in our society we dishonor people. One of the things that we have to deal with now is this cell phone usage, right? I've got one. I love my cell phone. I use it all the time. It's a tool for me. It's work. I have a lot of work on my phone. But, you know, we got to be careful. You know, you wouldn't take your cell phone out. You wouldn't be taking a call or texting someone if you're having a discussion with someone that you deemed important. Right? But with someone else, you might go ahead and take that call. When you're in the middle of a conversation, go ahead and take that call. You take that text. You know, I love, there's times when I was Ubering, someone would receive a call while I'm driving them around. And I was shocked how many people treated me with honor. They apologized to me that their phone was ringing. They asked me for permission to take the call. This is in Boston. They asked me for permission to take the call, and I said, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm here to serve you. You know, you're not here to serve me. But I thought it was so cool that I ran into some people that were honoring me and respecting me with their cell phone usage being a customer in my car. I wasn't a customer in their car. They were the customer. They're the ones that was supposed to be getting served, right? But yet they turned around and honored me. I thought that was cool. But so many times we dishonor people, even with our cell phone usage. Okay, we don't think much about it, but there's a lot of dishonor going on. I was talking with someone dear in my life. I love them dearly. I was talking with them just a while back, and we're both runners, and so we were talking about running. We were talking about marathons, and He's run a lot more marathons than I have, but he said, so he was asking me a question. And don't worry, I already forgave him, but I'm telling him a little bit. But he asked me a question, and so I'm answering this question. And I'm telling him, you know, I'm telling him about, I said, yeah, when I ran my first marathon, I said, you know, all my training was in cold weather. It was like early morning hours, you know, 4, 5, 6 a.m., and so it was cool. In California, you got to run early in the morning to get any cool weather at all. It's still not cool, but it's cooler than when it heats up during the day. And so all my running was early, so I didn't have any warm weather training. It was all, you know, I love to run when it's, man, 30 degrees is good. 40 is probably my favorite. But then 50 is all right. 60 is starting to get warm. You start to get to 70 and 80, and it's like, oh, my goodness. That's why the Boston Marathon, man, when the temperature gets up in the 70s and 80s in the Boston Marathon, people start falling out. You know, and they even threaten to cancel the race if it's too hot, you know, because it's hard to run a marathon in that kind of heat. Well, that's what happened to me. So I'm in this marathon, and I'm doing great up to about the 20-mile mark, but now the temperature has jumped up into the 80s. Because it's not 4 o'clock in the morning. It's now, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning, and it's a hot one. And so, man, I just started zapping me. So I get through telling him this, but while I'm telling him, he got distracted by his phone. So while I'm talking, answering his question, he's sitting there reading his phone. And I was watching him read while I was talking to him. And then right after I was finished, he clicked his phone off, and he goes, yeah. He said, you know what my problem is? My problem is the heat. I'm like, dude, you didn't hear anything I just said. Because that's exactly what I was talking about, was the heat. You didn't hear a word I said, but you know what? I let him off the hook because I love him, and I know that wasn't his intention, was not to dishonor me. And he's actually a family member, and so I didn't even bug him about it. I should have called him on it at least, but I didn't. But because I'm kind of a nice guy, all right? But it's funny. It wasn't intentional, but we do it all the time, don't we? We dishonor people. I know he didn't mean to dishonor me. We have a great relationship. We have some great conversations and stuff, but it's just one of those things that happens. So, you know, we got to ask ourselves, where is the honor? Jesus dealt with this in Mark chapter 6. You know, he said, it says here in Mark 6, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles, okay? So they're recognizing Jesus is doing some cool stuff, but, you know, they're in his hometown. These people knew who he was, and they're kind of amazed that this stuff is coming out of his mouth. And then this is what they did. We're going to read it here. So they took the one who should be elevated to the highest place of all, above all of us, and this is what they said. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown. This is the place where you treat something as common, right? In your hometown. I mean, I could go to the most elaborate place, the most exotic place in the world. I've traveled to some pretty cool places. But you know, when I get there, the people that live there, it's their hometown, it's not so exotic to them. Why? It's their hometown. It's common. It was exotic to me. I've never been there. I've never seen such beauty. I've never beheld something. But they look at it every day, and so it's become common to them. Right? So this is where Jesus is at. He's in his hometown, where you treat things as common, among his own relatives, huh? There again, where we treat things as common, your family, right? And in his own house, again, it's where we treat things as common. It says, among his relatives in his own house is a prophet without honor. They're dishonoring him. And let's see what the result is. It says he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. The Son of God was limited by the attitude, by the dishonor of the recipients. They dishonored him, and they didn't get to receive. What if the opposite was true? What if they had elevated him? What if they had honored him? Would they have seen mighty miracles like we saw in other places where he ministered? I think we would have. So here the people are determining what they're going to receive from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because they chose to dishonor him, they received very little. But other people that elevated him, other people that honored him, received much. Even the dead were raised. Wow. So honor, we see, can put us in a position to receive more than we normally would receive. So this text shows us really two things that cause dishonor. Familiarity causes dishonor. Familiarity. And what's the root word there in familiarity? Family. Family. Familiarity causes dishonor. Anything you think you're really close to or equal to or become overly accustomed to has the potential to cause you to dishonor. The potential is there, okay? And it's true that the greatest place of dishonor is right in our own homes. That's where we see it over and over again. Young people, I challenge you to amaze your parents with honor. Amaze them. Amen. Amaze them with honor. When your parents speak, it shouldn't be, what? I'll be there in a minute. I'm on level 13. I can't stop right now. That's dishonor. Should teach our kids to respond and come. When your name is called, respond and come. Respond and start moving in the direction of who called you. Right? That's honor. That's honor. That's honor. Familiarity causes dishonor. What's the other thing? Offenses cause dishonor. We see that in the same scripture. Offenses. You know, you can never honor that which offends you. And when we talk about people offending, actually, there's a greater truth in there. Often we talk about, well, he offended me. Actually, what happens really is you took offense to something that they did. You took offense to something they said. You know, I can show you a place in the scriptures where Jesus is talking, he's teaching, and the people were offended at him. They took offense. He didn't say anything offensive to them. He wasn't intending to offend them. He didn't offend them, but they took offense to something that he said, and it says there in that scripture that many followed him no more from that day. They took offense at something Jesus said, and they said, we're not going to follow him anymore. Wow. So offense can be powerful, can't it? When people take offense, look out, okay? That offense causes dishonor. If you're offended by the government, if you take offense to the government, you treat the government a different way than what God calls you to treat it. Romans 13, we won't turn over there, but you can look at it yourself. Romans 13 tells us that all, not some, but all authority under heaven has been given by God. That doesn't mean you have to agree with that authority. It doesn't mean that authority is always making the right decisions. Oftentimes they're not. But you can disagree with them and you can still honor them. You can still be respectful. You follow me? As children, God tells us to obey our parents. And when we're young, we're supposed to obey our parents. Unless they tell us to do something that's sin, we're supposed to be obeying our parents. But what about when we grow up? What about when we're no longer children? No matter how old we are, we're all told to honor our parents. We're all told to give them respect. Like I said, we'll show you how to do that. If you have trouble doing that, we'll show you how to do that if you stay with us, all right? So the question is, you know, how do we take some steps moving towards honor? Let me show you just quickly here, in just a few minutes, let me show you what honor looks like. Number one, honoring begins with God's claim on them. Honoring begins with God's claim on someone. Okay, God's claim on them. It has nothing to do with whether or not they deserve it. Like I said, Republican or Democrat, doesn't matter. Good parent or bad parent, doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with whether or not they deserve it. Honoring doesn't begin with your assessment of a person. It begins with God's view of that person and the position that they hold. Okay, God sees everyone as someone that he created, someone that he loves, and someone that he died for. Even the most despicable person you can think of is still someone that he created, someone that he loves, and someone that he died for. You know, I'm a pretty nice guy, contrary to what some of you might think. And I do show a lot of honor to people in public. But one area that I have that I can be a different man, and God's still working on me in that area, and so is my wife, thankfully. God's still perfecting my love walk in the car. Anyone relate to that? God is still perfecting my love walk in the car, man. Because sometimes, you know, now sometimes I rode good in the car. I've come a long way. Sometimes, you know, I let people in. If I see them, I'll let them in. You ever been there, that awkward moment, you know, when you're trying to get in, you know, you're trying to pull out in front of someone, and you need to get in because it's a big, long line. And what do most people do? They're looking over here. You're over here, and you're like, you know, and they're just kind of looking away. Why? Because if they make eye contact with you, then what happens? Then they feel some kind of obligation. Oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead, you know, and they give you the wave. Yeah, go ahead. Maybe you've been that person that's looking the other way. I didn't see him, man. I'm busy looking. There's a fly in my car. I don't know. We do stupid things, don't we? But, you know, most of the time, I've gotten better at that, and I really do try to let people in. But there have been a few times, okay, more than a few times, that I've called another car a jerk. Not the person, just the car. You know, and I'll be honest with you, you know, and one of my mentors has the same problem. He said, you know, sometimes I call people a jerk in the car. And he said, I did that one day. He said, I lost it. And I said, you jerk. Someone cut him off and said, you jerk. And immediately God said, that's my jerk. He said, that's my jerk. Wow. Preachers just love it when God yanks our chains. you get called out, man. God's calling you out. That's my jerk you're just mouthing off to there, right? And my wife, she's so sweet. She's always saying, you know, you don't know, hon. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they just lost their job. Maybe they just got in a fight with their spouse. You don't know. Maybe they don't normally drive like that. It's just a mistake. You've made a mistake before, haven't you, hon? And you say, oh, yeah. I hope you don't think anything less of me. You know, they say confession is good for the soul, but it's bad for the reputation. It's bad for the reputation. But I try to be a transparent, all right? So when someone cuts me off, you know, when someone cuts me off, they do something stupid, they do something dangerous. They don't deserve my honor. But I can still give them honor. I can still give them honor. Amen? When I view that person in the light of God's claim on them, God changes everything. God's like, I love them. I prayed to them. I died for them. I have a claim on them. Okay? And so when you look at things in that light, it changes everything. Ephesians 5:21. I got to move quickly here. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit. There's that word submit again. But no, it's not. It doesn't mean do out of duty. It means it becomes your delight because you change the way you view it. It becomes your delight. Submit to one another. Because they deserve it? No. Not because they deserve it, but out of reverence for Christ. When we submit to one another, we're doing it out of reverence for Christ. Amen. You're doing it under Jesus. Amen. You're doing it under Jesus. I honor people, and we should honor people based on our view, not on our view of them, but on our view of Him, on our view of Christ. Amen. I honor people because I honor Him. And I always want to honor Him. Amen. You know, Jesus said, and as much as you've done it unto the least of these, you know, you've done it unto me. But that goes both ways. When we honor and when we dishonor. When we dishonor people, we're dishonoring Jesus. When I call a guy a jerk, I'm calling God a jerk. And I would never do that, but yet I have. So I want to call you, church. I want to call you to a place of honor, okay? Number two, honoring, and this one I want to be careful with, but we got to say it because God says that honoring benefits me. I don't always like doing something because there's benefit in it for us. I'm like, you know, we should do something because it's the right thing to do. Some people, well, what's in it for me? You know, there doesn't always have to be something in it for you. Sometimes doing things that are right, you just do it because it's right. It doesn't have to be anything in it for you. But in this case, there actually is something in it for you. And God goes out of his way to tell us that there's something in it for us. Right? He said that honoring benefits us. In Ephesians chapter 6, you know, he said, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. There's benefit here, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So there's a benefit for you. There's a benefit for you. Amen. I know in talking to preachers, I talk to a lot of preachers in my family, preacher friends, you know, and preaching to different crowds. I've learned this. When you're preaching to different crowds that honor you when you're preaching, they receive more from God. I'm not talking about going on an ego trip as a preacher. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about when we, and myself included, when I honor someone who's ministering to me, when I show them respect, I'll receive more from that message than I would be if I was being disrespectful. And preachers are proving this out. You know, one preacher said, I was preaching in a Bible college, and the guy told me before I got up to speak, he said, oh, you know what? Don't worry. If they're not paying attention, don't worry. We need a lot of big-name preachers in here, and, you know, so if they're not amening you, don't worry. They just don't do that. They see a lot of big-name preachers. He's already making excuses before the man speaks. He's already making excuses of why they're going to be disrespectful. Oh, they see a lot of big-name preachers, and yeah, so don't worry, yeah, they'll, and she said, sure enough, I got up there, and they're on their phones, they're texting, they're doing their homework, you know, they're not paying attention. He said, do you think God did anything in that session? You think God moved at all in that meeting? No. But he said, but I went out to the Dream Center with Matthew Barnett, and I went out there to speak. And my goodness, all eyes focused, all attention on me. And those people were so honoring and so respectful. And God moved in a mighty way. Amen. God moved in a mighty way. Why? Because those people were taught to honor. And they gave me honor and God showed up. Amen. And so honoring, it benefits us, you know. I've told some of you this story about a man, he's a well-known minister now, but when in his younger days, he was a youth pastor in this church, and this church, he was on staff. This church was getting ready to launch small groups like what we've got going now, but God told this pastor, you know, right on the edge of their launch, right before they launched the small groups, they've been working on it for months. And they're right up there, you know, right just a week away from launch day. And God spoke to him in the night and said, you're not supposed to do small groups in this church. You missed it. And I don't want you to do small groups. I have a different plan. I'm not going to grow this church through small groups. He grows many churches through small groups. But you better be doing small groups because God told you to do small groups, not just because, well, that's what everyone else is doing. So God told them specifically, you're not supposed to do small groups. So he told the staff the next day, staff meeting, he said, God spoke to me last night and said, we're going the wrong direction. I missed it. So I'm sorry, I missed it. I own this thing, but we're not going to do small groups. We're canceling our small group launch. And this youth pastor, he was furious because he had worked hard. He had small groups lined up for the youth. The youth were ready to have their own small groups. And he'd been working hard, getting their leaders ready and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, pastor puts the big kibosh on the whole thing. Said, we're not doing it. And he got so mad, he left that staff meeting so furious, he went home, he told his wife what the pastor did and how angry he was and how unfair it was and all this stuff, and thank God he had a good, thank God for good wives, amen, I got one. Thank God for his good wife. She said, sounds to me like you got a problem. Men, don't you love to hear that when your wife says, when you're acting out and you're doing something, you know, you're losing it, you're not acting in a godly way, and your wife calls you on it. So he didn't like hearing that from his wife either. But eventually he calmed down, but he noticed from that day forward. Now, up until that point, he loved his pastor. Up until that point, he was getting fed in that church. He was receiving from the Word. The ministry was always ministering to him. The Word of God was always speaking to him in church, and he was so blessed. But from that day, suddenly it was like there was a brass ceiling, a brass heaven above him, and he wasn't hearing from God. He wasn't receiving from church. He wasn't getting anything out of church. Church was a drag. He didn't like it. He didn't want to go anymore. And then finally God got a hold of him and jerked his chain and said, you know what? You need to make an adjustment. And when he finally came to himself and he finally repented and finally made the adjustment to submit to his pastor and to begin to honor his pastor again, he said it was like that instantly, all of a sudden, I was receiving from my pastor again. All of a sudden, I was hearing the Word. I was getting fed. All of a sudden, the ministry was awesome, and everything was like it was before. Now, what changed? The pastor didn't change at all. What changed was his heart. He went from a place of honoring to a place of dishonoring, and then back to a place of honoring. See, so when we choose to honor, honoring benefits us. Amen? It benefits us. And then lastly, honoring is decided. It's not deserved. It's what you've decided in your heart to show someone. You can't give honor to those you think deserve it. You've got to make a decision to honor. You're going to be tested. I'll tell you right now. You're going to be tested. You're going to receive the honor test this week, all right? When you're going to find yourself tested. When you don't feel like honoring, when someone doesn't deserve honor, I want you to go ahead and honor them. Go ahead, just go ahead and honor them. Just bite the bullet. but it should be easy to do after what I just taught you, because what you're honoring them out of respect to the Lord, right? You're not agreeing with them. You're not agreeing with what they believe or what they're doing. You might have great opposition with what they believe and with what they're doing, but you're honoring them because God said to honor them, and you're doing it under Christ. You're doing it under your Lord and Savior, the one who loves you more than anyone has ever loved you. Amen. The one who died for you and gave his life for you. So 1 Peter chapter 2 says, submit. There's that word submit again. We see it a lot. But it's a little easier to take once you understand what it means, right? Submit. Do it out of delight. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority. Wow. He didn't say most authorities. He didn't say, well, only the godly authority. He said, every authority instituted among who? Among men. I know. It's tough, isn't it? whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to command those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. You know, church, the world is watching. The world is watching, and they find out you're a Christian, they're watching you. They ought to see that you and I talk differently. Not just in public or in our real life, but in online. They ought to see that we talk differently. He says that we can silence foolish the ignorant talk of foolish men by living differently, by responding differently, by honoring. He said, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Say, well, I'm free. I can say whatever I want. I got the First Amendment. Yes, you do. But God's command for us to honor supersedes our First Amendment. We live in a country where you can say whatever you want. But if you're going to walk with God, he expects us to do something with our mouth. He expects us to keep it in check. Amen. He expects us to live differently, to speak differently. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect. That word respect is the word honor that we've been talking about. Show proper respect or honor to who? Everyone. Everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Amen. That's good. That's good. Amen. That will change your life, church. That will change your life. If you haven't been living a life of honor, I hope I've swayed you. I hope the Word of God has swayed you. I hope the Word of God has opened your eyes to see that, you know what? Hey, you know what? I have been dishonoring in a lot of ways to a lot of different people, and I want to change that. And so we want to help you do that. So like I said, next week we're going to talk about six people that God says we should honor, and then we're going to show you in part three how to show honor. But I'd just love to see a revival of honor. Amen? I'd love to see a revival of honor in the church and in our community. And it begins, it's got to begin somewhere. Amen? As the bishop so eloquently said yesterday at that wedding, you know, when he's talking about the power of love, it's got to start somewhere. Huh? It's got to start somewhere. You got to start, the revolution has to begin somewhere. Amen? How about if a revolution of honor sprung up at Reigning Love Church? Amen. And we're honoring God in everything that we say and everything that we do. We're honoring one another. We're showing honor. We're giving respect to the things that God said that we should respect. We're valuing each other, honoring each other, honoring the poor, and doing everything that God would have us to do to serve them and minister to them and help them, and just being a church of honor. Amen. I'm excited about it. And so I hope you'll come back for the next two services, and we'll get after it. But I want to pray for you before we go. Father, I thank you. I praise you today for helping us, for enlightening us, Father, because there's so many times in our lives we find ourselves dishonoring to others. And so, Father, it's so good that you've said so much about it in your word to help us so that we can keep our heart right and our attitude right, so that we can not only bring the honor to others that you would have us to bring to them, Father, but in doing so, we honor you, Father. And there's no one in this world that we want to honor more than you. There's no one that's more precious, more valuable to us, Lord, than you. There's no one that we want to please, Father, more than you. So we thank you. We thank you for showing us how to honor. We thank you, Father, for that adjustment that we can make in our heart. Just right now, today, we make that adjustment. Say, Father, I choose to be a person of honor from this day forward. Show me how, remind me, put me in check when I get out of line, when I say what I shouldn't say and do what I shouldn't do. Help me, and that I might grow in this area and become a person of honor and give you glory and honor, Father. We thank you for helping us in Jesus' name. Amen.